Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Morning Mulligans podcast with your host, Jackson Dibble and Todd McGill.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Morning Mulligans podcast. I'm your host, Jackson Dibble.
And I'm Todd McGill.
Welcome back, everybody. It's the third episode of the Morning Mulligans podcast. We're so excited to have you all here this week. A lot of stuff went down last week. A lot of golf news. It was a very exciting tournament. Jordan Spieth, Brooks Koepka. We have an exciting tournament this week coming up. It's Pebble Beach Pro-Am. It's not the, like I said, it's not the biggest tournament of the year, but it's Pebble Beach. Everyone loves Pebble Beach.
Yeah, it's gonna be a little different this year without the actual pro-am,
right?
But it is a fun tournament.
Yeah, we have a lot in store for you all today. A lot of golf news, a lot of stuff to talk about from last week, and we have a lot of good picks this week, so it's gonna be kind of a longer episode. So let's just jump right into it. Ty, where would you like to start on the recap this week?
Yeah, so just getting right into the tournament, Brooks Koepka shot 19 under to win by one,
right,
over Kyunghoon Lee and Xander Schauffele.
Chipped in on 17.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is, I guess. I'm not.
You're not a Brooks Koepka fan.
I'm not too thrilled about it.
Everybody,
I think everybody was
wanting. Even if you're not a Spieth fan, everybody was a Spieth fan this week.
Yeah, it was kind of like, well, Tony Finau took this week off to go play overseas.
Oh, and he finished second. Shocker.
Yeah, normal Tony Finau. So I guess Spieth was the new favorite,
yeah,
or crowd favorite at least this week.
It was exciting.
We also had Steve Stricker at like 53 years of age.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool to see.
Ryder Cup captain this year. That was really cool to see him win, especially like you said before, and we were talking earlier. But he played with Padraig Harrington.
Yeah,
that was cool.
He's the European Ryder Cup captain. So that I'm sure they got a lot of strategies about who they're going to pair up in that and stuff.
Yeah.
When is it? I don't even know when that is. Is that September, October-ish?
Yeah, we got a hot minute till we get there.
A lot of golf stuff this year. We got the Olympics coming up, too.
Yep. A lot of golf. You know, we feel like we just had the Masters, but we're coming back on it soon enough.
Yep.
It's an exciting year, especially since last year was just weird.
The other guy I really wanted to highlight was Carlos Ortiz. If you watched last week, he kind of had a meltdown on Sunday.
Yeah, he did.
Pretty good bounce back. A lot of people that I talked to played him. Went right back to him this week, and it paid off.
Which I thought was kind of bold. I mean, I didn't dislike him this week by any means, but I wasn't confident enough to play him just because that huge meltdown.
Either.
I didn't think his mental game was going to be there, but he had a really big rebound. He tied fourth.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, great playing by Carlos Ortiz, especially after the huge meltdown he had at Torrey Pines.
Right. That's pretty much it for the tournament.
Yeah.
The other news I wanted to talk about, though, was I think it was maybe Tuesday – Rory kind of was asked in an interview about what his thoughts were on the USGA and the RNA wanting to do things to maybe limit the distance some of these guys are hitting it.
We've been waiting to talk about this all week.
Yeah, well, me and Jackson have literally saved this for this episode.
Right.
I think we kind of disagree.
Yeah, so Rory says that don't limit our distance, essentially what he says, in a hole.
Right.
And you say limit the distance.
I mean, I don't have the answer of what I would recommend, how they should go about this. I mean, of course, Rory's not going to agree with it. He's the second longest player on tour.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily feel
Rory
like
– is, like, he's very, like, to the rules. And like I said, he doesn't have the greatest attitude sometimes on the course. But, like, as an overall player, he's very looked at. He's very highly looked upon.
Yeah. And I think you said that he – joined the rules committee last week?
Yeah, he joined or he's joining.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think I was telling somebody else this today. If it wasn't for Bryson DeChambeau, we probably wouldn't be having this conversation.
Yeah, no, we wouldn't.
I just don't know how many golf courses are really going to be able to kind of deal with hitting drives over 400 yards.
No, it's fair.
I mean, it doesn't happen like every drive, but, I mean, I looked it up, and Bryson has like his longest drive is like 414 yards, and it ain't even the longest on tour.
Oh, it's absurd, yeah.
And I mean, you know, places like Torrey Pines, Bethpage, they can handle that, but like this week at Pebble Beach?
No. Well, driver's not even.
It's less than 7,000 yards.
Yeah, just because you blasted at Pebble Beach, though, doesn't mean you're going to do well.
Well, no, that's true.
Pebble Beach can eat you alive.
Yeah, it's definitely a very different golf course than just about anywhere else on the planet, not even just on tour, in my opinion.
Yeah, I just think it's kind of interesting with Rory because I feel like there might be two sides of the argument. One being, I mean, obviously, is Rory just talking, or is the USGA and Rory just talking about limiting the driver, or are they talking about limiting everything?
Now, I don't know.
Now, that's where I would disagree, that's what I thought you were talking about, is what I disagree. I 100% agree with limit the length of the driver and possibly the loft. Because, I mean, obviously, if you can just blow it off the tee.
Right.
I agree. Limit the driver. But
that's an interesting point. I didn't even think about that.
That's why I disagree with some of these people coming out. Because, like I said, I 100% agree, limit the driver. Sure. That's fine. But if you start limiting the – you can't really limit length on an iron. If you start limiting degrees on an iron and certain, you know, forge, blade, like, so limiting to certain aspects of your irons along with the degrees and stuff, I 100% disagree with that. You can't limit irons, wedges. You can't limit those.
The only thing I kind of agree with that statement, but – I mean, I think Bryson's driver is like a 5-degree driver.
Limit
something
that.
Stupid.
Maybe if I can't go below like a 7 or 8-degree driver, sure.
But why not just do that through the whole bag? Let them play what everybody else plays.
It's fair, but
– I mean, Rory made the argument that you can't – he doesn't want to change the game just for the professionals, but they're already doing that.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing I look at too is that people – like Rory says it helps – if you start limiting the game, it's going to affect everybody. Well – when I turn on the PGA Tour, I don't want to see somebody that plays like me. I want to see someone that lights it up. It's inspiring to people that maybe on web.com or just high school golfers, like just kids. Like, it's inspiring to see these guys just smoke these courses and play so well. And distance has a long part to do with that.
Right.
And I think if you start limiting the PGA Tour to what they can do, then you're going to take away from the game, which I think that's where Rory was coming from. You start limiting, saying like, you know, like put like, okay, just put like, like Justin Thomas up there. Like, amazing player. He doesn't blast it.
No.
But he's an amazing player. But if you start limiting all these things that he can do and then he starts doing a little bit worse and things like that, then I don't think kids or high schoolers or anything will be nearly as interested. I'm saying like, Dustin Johnson is 8th in driving distance on tour.
Really?
Yeah. And Justin Johnson, and he's obviously number one right now, number one ranked. But I think if you just start limiting all these big names and stuff like that, then sure, it might start giving like the lower names or the web.com guys more of a chance. But I think when you're talking about actually getting people into the game of golf and bringing more people, I think you're going to hurt it. Because I just – like I said, I don't want to see somebody that plays like me on tour. I just don't want to see that. I want to see someone that, you know, can go on these birdie stretches and do all this stuff.
The only thing I'm worried about is, like, what if in 5 or 10 years everybody on tour has to look like Bryson just to compete?
No, that's where I also come in. I just 100% agree you should limit the driver.
And I've heard the argument, you know, like Bryson's doing the same thing that Tiger did. But I feel like it's a little different because Tiger – the only thing Tiger did was assert that golfers are athletes.
Yeah.
And that's all he did. Well, I mean, up until later in his career when he started doing all the SEALs training and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that was crazy.
That I'm not talking about. But the working out, the dieting, you know, that was never done until Tiger, really.
Yeah, really.
And I feel like it's a little different with Bryson because he's literally just experimenting at this point.
Yeah.
And, you know, like people like Kevin Kisner, I know he made the joke about finishing top 20 because they, you know, but I feel like there is a little bit of truth in that.
Oh, it is.
And, you know, all these golf courses, they're playing to the defense of the longer players.
Yeah. Well, and that's where a lot of golf courses have come into play. Like people have said, well, you know, you try to limit these things, our scores won't change. Like the general final score of the rounds haven't changed in a long time. Like, it's always within a few strokes of each other, usually.
Right.
That's just because these golf courses keep getting longer.
Yeah.
That's what I agree you should limit some things, but if you just come out and you start saying that certain irons and stuff can only have a certain degree, and then I 100% agree with the driver. But
I only mean the irons and stuff as you know, like I'm trying to think of the degrees of clubs off the top of my head, but, you know, for normal guys, let's say like a pitching wedge, it's hovering around 47 to 46 degrees of loft for a pitching wedge.
Right.
Some of these guys on tour, man, they've got their pitching wedge turned down to like a 44.
Yeah.
42.
Well, that's fair.
You know, and at that point, they're not hitting a pitching wedge. They're hitting a 9-iron.
Yeah. But the other thing I've seen about people saying limit the game is they want to start seeing the pros hit different golf balls, as in, like, limited golf balls. Like, you know, you go to, like, some, like,
driving range,
and it's, like, a 70% ball.
Right.
I would hate that. I think that's awful.
Yeah. And I mean, the bad part is you start limiting this, you're still hurting the guys that hit it short.
Yeah.
So that's where I say I don't know exactly what the answer is, because – you know, if you're going to restrict distance, you can't just say, hey, if you're in the top 20 of driving distance, we're going to give you a different driver that you can't hit it as far. That's not fair either.
I would definitely say there's some things you should limit. I mean, maybe you can talk about irons by maybe like half a degree, maybe. I really don't like the iron game. Because like you said, like some of these web.com guys, or sorry, Korn Ferry guys.
I can't ever get used to that.
Yeah, I won't get used to it either. It's not a lot of those guys just, like, bomb it like some of these PGA Tour guys do. And I think if you start limiting that, then it's also, like you said, it's also going to limit them.
Right.
And then they're just going to be stuck in the same boat.
It's definitely a tight rope.
Yeah.
For sure.
Limit the driver. I can 100% get behind that. Bryson DeChambeau's driver, ridiculous. Even Rory's driver is still kind of out there.
Yeah. I mean, they're averaging, like, pretty much 330.
But they also kind of – fun part is this. I got this sheet I printed out right here about the people. It's got the top 11 people in driving distance, and if you really look at the list, not many of these guys are winning that much, which is also the kind of, like, Bryson DeChambeau is up there. Sure, he won the U.S. Open. What else has he really won lately besides that?
He won the Rocket Mortgage, but that was such a weak field. Did
Rory McIlroy's up there? He's a great player.
Can't putt.
Can't putt. Cameron Champ's next. He doesn't win. Davis Riley. Don't even know who that is.
Yeah, I've never heard of him.
Wyndham Clark. Then there's Matthew Wolf, Luke List. And the number eight is Dustin Johnson. Dustin Johnson's winning, but he's eighth.
Right.
And then after that, you have Sam Burns, who's playing great right now. That's awesome. But then it's Will Gordon, Nick Hardy. That's saying the top 11 guys in driving distance aren't winning that much.
That's true.
So that's the other part, is that –
until it starts really dominating the game.
Yeah, no, I agree that you should start limiting the driver and stuff, because if you start limiting the driver, this list right here is going to shrink down to a lot more of, like, you know, like the JTs and maybe a Spieth sometime, or like Finau and stuff like that. It's going to start limiting everything. I think it'd be a lot more fun just with the driver. I only think you should limit the driver, because I mean,
that's fair.
I mean, you can go out there and you can go rip a 3-iron or a 3-wood off the tee, whatever you want to do. But if you start limiting the driver, then you're not going to see Bryson DeChambeau 150 yards past Bernard Langer at the Masters again.
Well, and the other thought I had was, and I know
– even though Bernard Langer finished better than him.
I know the – or at least, you know, in years past, in like the 80s and 90s, it was really big for golf courses to be a staple of maintaining, you know, good environmental practices and stuff like that. And so, you know, whenever you see golf courses watering the crap out of their greens and fairways, it's kind of like, do you really need to?
Yeah.
And my thought was, is, you know, you could, if there was some way to not, like, just completely destroy your water supply at the golf course or whatever that week, make the fairways just a little softer. I mean,
yeah, you could.
I was watching the Waste Management this week, and you had guys hitting like 60, 70, 80 yards a roll.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, so
firm.
Yeah, so way. I know that, you know, the long drives are over 400 yards. They're not flying it that far.
I see, well, like I said.
And you wouldn't have to limit anything. Just make it to where they just roll out
10
or 20.
Y'all see, well, how many of those guys are really winning, too?
I mean, right.
Like Bryson's swing isn't going to last forever.
No, I 100% think he's probably going to get hurt within the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I think so, too. That's like I've said it probably 8 times now. I agree with limiting the driver, but I think that's where you start.
Right.
Right now, I 100% disagree with limiting irons and wedges and things like that. Because everybody knows it's a short game that wins you tournaments. Everybody knows that. But limit the driver, start with that, and if we see some dramatic changes, then let's just keep it at that. But if we want a little bit more changes, then let's move into the irons and maybe the wedges and things like that. Don't ever touch the golf ball. But
yeah,
touch the golf ball, that's going to – Callaway, Titleist, everybody who makes golf balls, they will not get behind that either because that's just going to kill their sales.
Well, and limited flat golf balls are so inconsistent.
Yeah,
it'd be so hard to make one.
I highly doubt they'll ever touch the golf ball.
Yeah.
But still, let's start with the driver. And then let's move on from that. But other than that, that's all I got to say about the Rory deal this week.
Yeah, I think that was a good combo.
Only other thing, I have two other things I want to talk about for the recap. One of them is just kind of funny. Dustin Johnson took out a volunteer this past week. I mean, he just nailed it.
Oh, yeah, over in Saudi Arabia, yeah.
Did you watch the video of that?
Yes.
He just collapsed like he just got shot.
I mean, would have.
I know it hurt. I've been doned by a golf ball in the collarbone before.
Oh, gosh.
And it hurt. But
I can just imagine taking that ball right on, like, the shoulder blade.
Yeah. It was back when I worked at the country club, and I got out of the range cart because I was picking the range. And then all of a sudden, the second I turn my body out of the door, I just get doned right in the collarbone.
Oh, jeez.
Oh my gosh, that was terrible.
I've been hit twice in my life. Once was in like middle school. Somebody hit a flop shot and it landed and hit me like right on
the top of your head,
right, literally on the crown of my head. And I mean, I just imagine how bad that hurt. I can just imagine getting hit on a fly. The other one was I think it was like my junior year at TSU. I think it was before practice. I was warming up on the driving range and somebody like four or five guys down. Bays down, like, sculled one into the picker cart.
Gosh.
Hit ricocheted and come back and hit me in the shin.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, the most, like, weird.
That had to hurt.
Yeah, the most weird coincidence ever. But, yeah, just from my two experiences, I could just imagine how bad that hurt.
That's probably bad. Two other things to recap is Jordan Spieth might be back.
Possibly.
He's coming up this week. He's won here at this week. So, it's going to be another little test for him. Pebble Beach is a tough course. So.
In my recap, I said, Spieth is back, ..
Maybe.
Almost.
Yeah, almost. And the last thing I want to talk about for the recap of this previous week, it's really kind of news this past day or two. Brooks Koepka officially has a Ryder Cup spot, which I think is pretty exciting. I know you're not a big Brooks fan.
Yeah, I mean, I figured it was probably a foregone conclusion.
I think I'd like him in the Ryder Cup, but the part that everybody listening to this should be excited for is that Brooks Koepka taking this Ryder Cup spot, guess who he took it from?
From Reed?
From Patrick Reed.
Really?
He took it from Patrick Reed. Patrick Reed is now seventh in the spots. So Brooks took it away from Patrick Reed.
So is it a guarantee in, or if like Reed finishes better in a couple tournaments, is he going to retake that?
Right now, this is how it stands. So,
I'd be okay with that.
Which I still find surprising because Reed just won, but then Brooks turned around and won. But yeah. I feel like Reed's finished better than Koepka.
Has Koepka played in the Ryder Cup?
I don't know.
I don't know if he's been on tour that long.
I feel like we should definitely know that.
Nah. He's so boring, I don't.
Yeah, that's it. We don't really pay attention to
It's hard to keep up with somebody like that.
But he took away from Patrick Reed, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah.
Screw that guy. But anything else for your news recap?
Nope. Okay. No, that was it for me. What we got on the recaps of how our guys did?
We did okay last week. See, we had a lot of good picks last week, just you and I didn't put the teams together properly. If you listen to us then and you put some different teams together, I mean, you could have really had a solid week this past week. Except for the one that actually just killed me was Ricky Fowler missed a cut.
Oh yeah, Daniel Berger shot me so bad.
Daniel Berger missed a cut. Ricky Fowler missed a cut. Awful.
Oh wait, I have one more thing. Gary Woodland.
Oh yeah,
I'm off on him for a while. I think it's time Gary Woodland takes a little break, which he obviously is doing. I don't even know if I even saw him on the list, or maybe I did, and I was just like,
he's not playing this week.
Okay. Thank goodness. So that must mean he is going to take some time off.
You are so upset with him.
I would not think that. If he was playing halfway decent, he would skip this tournament.
No.
Not after winning the U.S. Open here, I wouldn't think.
You are so unhappy with Brooke. I mean, not Brooke.
I was pretty disappointed.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I've been hyping you up, saying you're better than what you are.
And wrong.
He is struggling right now. He is just mentally. He's mentally drained, I think. He just needs to take a refresher.
Yeah. He was on the recap here. But another guy I was really big on this past week is Ryan Palmer. Ryan Palmer finished 42nd. Not great, not terrible. It's okay. He was about 14% ownership, so not bad. But we had Russell Knox. He was 53rd. He was below 5% ownership. We had Max Homa finished 42nd. John Rahm 13th. Byung-Hun An was on my team. He finished 52nd. Still not great. But a really good one is that we were high on Jordan Spieth last week.
Yep.
I was very excited for him. And Jordan Spieth finished 4th last week, and he's only 2.2% owned.
That is so crazy.
Yeah, because just nobody believed it. I guarantee you Jordan Spieth is going to be probably over 30% owned this week. Guarantee it. Because everybody's going to hop on the bandwagon.
I mean, that just like – that pretty much is a testament to how far he's fallen.
Yeah, which that's saying you put him in a – if I have Spieth on my list today when we get into the analysis and picks of this. But Spieth this coming week – I mean, everybody's going to have him.
You think so?
I think everybody's going to have him. Yeah, just the bandwagons are jumping on him.
After one event, you think?
Yeah, it's Spieth. Yeah, I think so.
I mean, everybody's been kind of waiting for it, and yeah. He finally showed some signs of life.
So I think playing him is either you take the risk of him, you know, winning top five maybe, or you take the risk of him missing the cut. But everybody's going to do it is the thing, I think. But another one, a great pick that I had last week was Andrew Putnam. Finished 7th last week.
Yep, solid
pick. He was 0.3% owned, and he finished 7th. So, quality pick there.
Yeah.
Really good. Webb Simpson finished 42nd. Scottie Scheffler, we also talked about, he finished 7th. That was a good pick. Todd had a great pick of James Hahn last week.
Yeah, that's really 10th. Solid.
Great pick.
I was kind of pulling for him too, man. I don't know what it was. I honestly think when he got up, three shots.
I don't think he'd
seen the leaderboard yet.
I think he saw the leaderboard.
Well, yeah, after he was up three shots. Yeah, like I'm saying, but getting to those three shots, he didn't see a leaderboard or anything, and then he glanced and he seen who was chasing him, and he just folded.
He just got scared, yeah. And the last one we talked about was Scott Stallings. Finished 36. So we had a pretty good week. If you listened in, you could have really made a really solid team out of that stuff.
Yeah.
And it was a fun week for us. But other than that, that's all we got for our recap of news and players. You got anything else for us?
Nope.
Okay. Like I said, we got a longer episode today. That was the big bulk of it right there. We had a lot of news to talk about there. But so we're going to jump into this week at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. I get really just AT&T Pebble Beach.
No Pro-Am.
Yeah, no Pro-Am. But of course, there's three different courses we're playing at this week. Todd, what are our three courses we're at?
So you got Pebble Beach, Monterey Country Club, and Spyglass Hill.
Spyglass, I want to play there so bad.
I know. I remember playing that on like Tiger Woods games and just thinking like, wow, this is the coolest golf course I've ever played.
It's a little fun fact is that this is actually the shortest course. This is the shortest event of the year.
Oh yeah,
the very shortest one. It's we go as low as 6,816 yards.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so it gets short.
Mm-hmm.
It's exciting though. Got to know your way around the greens here. It's a Poen grass everywhere. Some ryegrass mixed into the fairways and the rough.
Is that on all three courses?
Majority, yeah. You know, there's always like a blend of everything.
It's just kind of so hard. I mean, this is a fun event, but I kind of, for this, you know, for betting and stuff, I freaking hate the three, like.
Oh, three different courses?
Yeah, because
it's awful.
The two, you know, you've got the one main course, and then the other one or two that they end up playing on these multi-course events, you just can't find anything about hardly.
That's why course history here is just so important, I think.
Yeah.
It's huge. But like I said, Poen grass, and everybody knows these courses. I mean, it's rough can be kind of thick. It's kind of an earlier time of the year, so it probably shouldn't be too thick right now. But it's a lot warmer over there than where it is here. And I mean, everybody knows how this course is. I mean, it's just, you can either light it up or it will take you down.
Yeah.
It'll take you down hard. But other than that, you got anything else before we jump into our tiers?
Nope.
All right. If you guys listened in last week, we break our tiers down by tier A, B, C, and D. Tier A, we're just going to start off with the most expensive player at $12,400, and we'll go down to $10,000. We use FanDuel for everything that we do here, including our matchups episode that comes out on Wednesday at 6 a.m., along with this one the day before at 6 a.m. And FanDuel just really used for everything. We like it a lot more than everything else we looked at. We also use FanDuel Sportsbook, like I said. But so just keep in mind, pricing's all through FanDuel.
Yeah, it differs a little bit off DraftKings, I've noticed.
Yeah, it does a little bit for sure. But you start us off with tier A. I got a lot more guys than you do this week.
Yeah, you're going with a lot of guys. But, I mean,
I think there's This, I think this.
There's so many people playing good right now, especially in the two tiers, tier A and B.
Yeah.
I mean, it starts thinning out once you get, you know, down to C and D. But I'm not really that interested in Dustin Johnson. He's the most expensive guy.
I haven't mentioned this week.
He won last week.
He's won here before.
Right.
He's won back twice. Back to back. Yeah. He won twice here before. But thing is, though, he won in 2009. In the past, I think it was 10 or 11 years, they've played these three courses that they're playing now. And in 2009, it was a different set of courses.
Oh, okay.
But he did win the year after that in 2010. So it's not that much of a difference. But Dustin Johnson's a two-time winner, and he won last week. So that he's a mention for me this week. I'm not going to put him just because I don't like putting someone that expensive in there unless I'm like, they're winning.
Yeah, I mean, they better win.
I don't think DJ wins this week, but obviously you could expect a top five.
Right.
Obviously.
The first guy I'm actually going to go with, and I think you've got him too, Patrick Cantlay.
Yeah, I have him almost all my lineups this week. He's the second most expensive guy.
Yeah, he's 11,900. He's kind of like DJ. I mean, I'm kind of expecting him to at least finish top five.
Yeah, no, he's playing good golf, too, I mean, is the thing.
Yeah, and I definitely think he's got the game to win here. He's from Long Beach, California, which is only five hours away from Pebble Beach.
He finished 11th here last year.
Yeah.
That's, I think.
And T21 at the U.S. Open in 2019.
Yeah, that's. I think you got a great pick with Patrick Cantlay. I picked him as well. It's, like you said, he grew up close to here. He's used to this kind of weather. He's probably used to this kind of grass. He's played super aggressive a couple weeks ago, you know, driving up that leaderboard.
Mm-hmm.
And it was – I think he's playing great golf, and I could easily see Patrick Cantlay holding up the trophy this week.
Yeah, and I mean the stats – well, I mean, Patrick Cantlay's kind of becoming a household name for, you know, big golf fans, I think.
Yeah.
So the stats really is not going to be that surprising. He's 11th in strokes gained total, 5th in strokes gained around the green, 20th in strokes gained tee to green, and 7th in birdie average.
Oh, he's doing great.
Yeah, I mean, he makes a ton of birdies, and the score's been, you know, pretty high, or I guess low, I should say.
Right.
The last couple of years, 19 unders won it the past 2 years.
You better watch out for him this year. He's going to win once or twice this season.
I definitely think so, too.
You better watch out for him in a couple of weeks at the Arnold Palmer Invitation. He loves that place. But is that – so give me one more guy you got in tier A.
Okay, yeah. I'll just touch over this guy again, Jordan Spieth.
I got Jordan as well.
We're both going to have him. He's 11,100. So he'd be a definitely a good place to start if you didn't want to go with one of the top guys.
Yeah.
You know,
he
I
won
think,
here in 2017.
Right, and I think last week he gained a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
I don't think the driver is necessarily as important here.
That's what kind of scared me about this week.
Really?
He's horrible off the tee.
I mean,
right
now. There's a couple of holes, especially one on the back nine, that, you know, the fairway gets a sloping pretty hard towards the ocean.
Right.
So I definitely think, you know, you're going to have to get it off the tee, at least in play, but I don't necessarily know if you're going to have to hit that many drivers because it hasn't.
Yeah.
From what I've seen, it hasn't rained a whole lot going into the week, and it's not going to start raining, I don't think, until maybe Friday.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, I think if Spieth doesn't have to hit a driver a whole lot, I think he's a decent play. I mean, he's 12th in strokes gained around the green. He was first in strokes gained approach last week.
Wow.
So, literally, just get him in the fairway, and he should be okay.
I just think his ownership's going to be so high this week.
That's the only downside.
I just think so many people are jumping on it. I have him in, I think maybe one, I think I have four lineups this week, and I think I have him in, I know I have him at least one, maybe two. Like I said, he's 11,100 this week on FanDuel. I don't know. His ownership could honestly be all the way up to 30% ownership. But I don't know.
I mean, anybody that you're picking above him is going to be that or more.
Yeah, I think the minimum Jordan Spieth ownership this week is probably 15% at the minimum.
Another, like, just a quick mention because I didn't do a whole lot of research on him. I think Paul Casey is a decent play this week.
I crossed him out of my list.
He won. I'm pretty sure he won 2 weeks ago in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, you know, he's playing good. He's finished well here before. He's finished second here before.
He does like this golf course.
Yeah. Now, Paul Casey can 100% do well here. He's 11,400 this week. I just see Patrick Cantlay doing better at 11,900, personally.
Right. Who you got?
I got a couple guys.
Well, go ahead there.
I'll start off with one of my mentions right here. I'll just go down my list. He hasn't played here before, and I just feel like you kind of have to mention, though, is Will Zalatoris.
He's just so expensive, man.
I know. I'm not playing him. He's 11,000. Actually, I think I have him one lineup, actually, maybe. But he's 11,200. He's just playing such good golf right now.
He is playing really well.
17th, 7th, 57th, 16th, and 5th. I mean, he's playing great. It's hard to go against him right now.
Right.
I have him in a lineup. I honestly might take him out, but I don't know.
If you're going to play him at all this year, I don't know. He's not going to have really course history of anywhere.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Let's see. He's been playing a lot lately. Maybe he didn't look like he was getting tired, though.
Nah, he's pretty young. I'd say he's probably pretty good in that area.
I don't think he's a bad pick. I think he gets you a top 20 for sure. But 11,200, too risky for me.
Yeah, for a rookie.
Yeah. That's a mention of mine. We already talked about Jordan Spieth, and we're going to talk about one of my boys. I have a, like everybody knows, I have a group of boys.
I already know who you're talking about.
I have a top five boys, and they're my buddies. And I don't actually know them, but
maybe one day.
Yeah, it's Mark Leishman, Cam Davis, Ryan Palmer, Lanto Griffin. I got four of my boys. The fifth spot still open, still up for taking. But
taking applications?
Yes. Now Cam Davis is playing this week. In 2020, he finished 38th here. And my course comparison, if you listen to last week, and I do this, I'm going to do this every single week. Todd focuses a lot more on the analytics of the players, driving distance and putting, everything like that. I do a lot of course comparisons. I feel like with Todd's knowledge combined with mine, it combines for a very interesting show along with some interesting picks here. But with my Sony Open being my course comparison this week, he finished 31st in the Sony Open this year. It's not the best finish, but I feel like Cam Davis could definitely play well here. He's 10,600. I think at best I see him getting a top 10. I think his ownership's going to be below 13%.
Yeah, probably. I mean, he's definitely going to be one of the lower-owned guys in Tier A, I think. I don't think he's creating quite as much buzz as somebody like Zalatoris.
No, I agree. I
feel like they're kind of in the same boat right now. I mean, Cam Davis has been on tour at least a year,
mm-hmm.
but they're still pretty fresh, both of them.
I agree. He's 10,600. I think I have him in a lineup this week. I definitely think at best he gets you a top 10. I say at worst it's a top 25, which still, his ownership, not bad. With his price tag, I would really want at least to probably like top 18 or better probably.
Yeah.
But I'll give you one more mention, and I'll hand it back over to you.
Okay.
Actually, I'm going to skip this guy real quick. I'm going to jump down to Phil Mickelson.
Phil the Thrill.
I'm not playing him this week. I'm not playing him.
It's so scary. I mean,
I was saying, I'm not playing him. He's 10,200. He's just a mention. I can't play Phil. I just can't play him. His putting is terrible.
Except for on POA, apparently.
Well.
Or here.
He's a five-time champion of this course, and he's runner-up every other freaking tournament here, or every other time here. If he's not runner-up, he's top five. He loves this golf course. I sound like an idiot for not wanting to play him. I just don't want to play him.
It's just too scary.
I think this might be the time that Phil finishes outside the top 30, possibly. He's 10,200. I mean, he could be one of the safest picks. He's a five-time champion, but he's not safe enough for me.
No.
Give me someone you got. I got two guys left in Tier A.
Okay, I've really only got one left. I've got a risky play in Jason Day. He's got really good course history. He's finished top four, I think, the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just playing really bad golf.
He was runner-up in 2018.
Oh, well, there you go. If you want to get risky and play him, he may just get back in form just because he likes his golf course. I don't know.
He had a bad debut.
Yeah, he did. But the one guy I really like this week, and he's been flying really under the radar, is Francesco Molinari.
Yeah, I'm curious why you picked him.
He's $10,900 right now. He finished T16 at the 2019 U.S. Open, which kind of surprised me considering that was his debacle at the Masters, a couple months prior to that.
Yeah.
But his last two finishes this season are tied for 10th and T8.
Wow.
I mean, he's playing good golf.
Okay.
He's 17th in strokes gained approach, 6th in strokes gained around the green, 6th in strokes gained tee to green, and 17th in strokes gained total.
I want everybody to listen to that one. Every week we seem to find a very sneaky pick. Todd, I think you might have found the sneaky pick. Nobody's talking about Mulder.
Nobody.
No.
Literally ever since that debacle at the Masters, nobody has talked about Francesco literally at all.
That's a good pick. I like it. I put him in a lineup. I like that pick.
You know, when we were doing our research, I looked at Jackson. I was like, man, I feel like I've got some winners. That's
a winner?
I could definitely see it.
You see him holding up the trophy. Wow.
It'd be a very good comeback, I think.
Wow. Okay. I like it.
Get him on a roll until he gets to the Arnold Palmer.
Yeah. I like that pick. You got anybody else in tier A?
No, I'm done.
All right. I'll give you my last two guys here. It's one of my guys is 10,500. It's Sam Burns. He doesn't have course history here. He's just playing
very well.
He's just playing good golf. And I feel like he does very well under pressure. And I feel like he's on a very good rise in his game. I have a sort of a different course comparison. You know, my course comparison this week is Sony Open, but I also kind of relate Pebble Beach to the Honda Classic. Now, by no means is it the same golf course, but I only say that because it can be similar conditions. It's nowhere near the same golf course, same length. But
you can get windy at Honda Classic, too.
Exactly. That's why I just feel like it was. And in 2018, Sam Burns finished eighth at the Honda Classic. So I feel like he might like some of these courses. If you look at other, like, very windy courses, Sam Burns seems to do well there. But I just think he's playing good golf right now. He's actually in, I think, two of my lineups this week. I think he's just playing really, really well. I could see him getting a top 15 this week. I definitely could. But my last tier A guy is 10,100 and is Max Homa.
Going right back.
He's
got
right
good
back.
Course history.
Yep. I've been on the Max Homa train for like 3 weeks now.
How did he finish last week?
Like he did well.
30th maybe? Somewhere around there?
I think he finished can't remember off the top of my head. But I mean he's doing well though. At the Pebble Beach Pro-Am last year, he finished 14th. And then in 2018, he finished 10th. So he's got good course history here.
Finished 42nd last week.
Okay. Well, oh yeah.
A bad final round. He only shot 1-under in the final round.
Yeah. I think what kind of scares me is he's been playing a lot of golf lately.
Yeah,
so
he's got to get burnt out at some point, I would think.
Yeah. But the other part that doesn't scare me is that I think if we were going to a course like a Torrey Pines this week, then I probably wouldn't play him just because – I think he's starting to slow down a little bit, but this is an extremely short golf course, so I don't think he's going to struggle that bad. He's playing great golf. He's got good course history here. He's in a lot of my lineups this week. Pretty confident Max Homa. I can honestly see him holding a trophy this week.
Really?
Yeah. I think Max Homa is due for a win this season, and I think it's going to be sooner than later. I think this is not necessarily an easier tournament, but you can get by a little better here. But other than that, that's all I got for Tier A.
Yep.
Okay. We're going on Tier B. Tier B is 9,900 to 9,000. Again, we use FanDuel for everything. Todd, start us off on Tier B. My Tier B guys are wicked.
Man, I literally only had like two guys in this tier that I really liked.
Okay. I'm curious.
And both of them are on the higher end of this tier. I didn't really – anybody past 9,500.
Wow, really?
Yeah, just none of them really stuck out to me.
Wow, fun fact, all my guys are 9,500 and below.
Oh, well, okay then.
So I didn't like anybody before 9,500.
So Cameron Tregali is my first guy in this tier.
I thought you might pick him, and I'm curious why.
He's 9,900. He does not have any good course history here at all.
Exactly.
But he doesn't have good course history at – TPC Scottsdale, and he finished tied 18th last week.
Okay.
So I don't know if necessarily –
there's a little bit of hype around him right now.
A small amount, yeah. I just he's 21st in greens and regulation, 15th in three-putt avoidance, and 25th in birdie average.
Three-putt avoidance, wow. They got a stat for everything.
Oh, yeah, but you can find just about anything you want. If he – you know, course history might get him. I don't know. But like I said, it didn't hurt him last week, and I don't think he's that bad of a play.
No.
Okay. I mean, he's on a good run right now.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad at all. I'll give you two. I'll give you two guys since I got five in this category. Two are just mentions. But I got an interesting guy here. He's 9,500, and it's Brent Snedeker.
The Snedeker.
He has played terrible the last, like, I don't know, 2 years, 3 years, I don't know.
I've got him down as my risky play in this tier.
Yeah, so, Brent, but he's a two-time champion here, one in 2013 and one in 2015. I think you could see a possible Brent Snedeker little top 10 this week.
I mean, the last time we saw him was at Torrey Pines, and he finished tied 32nd.
I was saying, Torrey Pines is not an easy golf course.
No.
So he's, I think with that was that his debut? I think it was his debut.
2021, I think so.
Yeah, that's the thing. So Brent Snedeker.
And it was on Poana Greens.
Yeah, he hasn't done anything about in a Poana. While. Poana Greens, Torrey Pines starting off with that decent of a finish for your debut. I think that's pretty solid. And if you look at my course comparison, the Sony Open, I do this course comparison because Sony Open is practically the exact same distance as these golf courses we're looking at. And it's out in Hawaii, so it's very similar winds and weather conditions, everything. So I think Sony Open is very close to Pebble Beach, like the golf courses itself. I think this is as close as you're going to get.
Right.
So that's why I use Sony Open this week. But in Sony Open last year, Snedeker missed the cut. But in 2019, he finished 12th. In 2018, he finished 16th.
Yeah, he's just been on a bad run for the last year or so.
That's what I'm saying. I think that missed cut was just a fluke. I think Brent Snedeker actually does pretty well this week. I could genuinely see a top 10.
I would like to see it.
It just scares me still because it is Snedeker. So it's very, very risky. But I could definitely see it. And I'll throw you a mention real quick, which I don't, you know, actually you might have this guy, so I'll go to the next one. There's a guy coming in at $9,400 is Knoxville boy, Peter Malnati. Peter Malnati is the king of leading in the first round. I think if he can do that, which he's done that here before, actually, he's led in the first round before. I think he can do really well here. Last year he finished 11th, and in 2018 he finished 35th, not as well. But Piedmont is playing fantastic
golf.
He
is playing really good.
He's probably playing the best golf he's played in years. I mean, it's awesome to see. And if you look at my Sony Open comparison, he finished 14th this year, and he finished 12th the year before that.
Okay.
So I'm pretty big on Piedmont this week. I think his best finish here is the 11th, which he finished at last year. You could see Peter Malnati in the top 8 this year. I'm predicting the whole top 10 today.
I don't know what it is with the Knoxville boys playing well, like out in California on Poana. Like, we don't have any Poana greens here.
We literally have none.
But zero sense. Scott Stallings likes playing out, you know, out in California on Poana.
Yep.
So
they didn't
go
to college over there either.
No.
Doesn't make any sense. But, you know, we'll take it. So I like Peter Malnati a lot this week. I have four lineups this week. I think he's in 3 out of 4. So give me one of your guys over there.
All right. So my other guy is Matthew Neesmith.
What?
He was in a lot of talks last week. He finished tied 7th. He finished tied 11th here last year.
God, I didn't even see that.
And right now he's 12th in strokes gained approach, 32nd in strokes gained tee to green, and he's 3rd in greens in regulation.
Wow.
Now, I mean, I don't know exactly how far he hits it, but everybody's going to be hitting short irons to wedges into a lot of these greens. So greens in reg, not necessarily a humongous stack because everybody should be hitting a good amount of greens.
Yeah.
But I think he's playing pretty well right now, and I don't know. I just think he's a solid play.
Okay. Is that your last guy in tier B?
Yeah.
You're not going to take your boy again?
Kirk.
Chris Kirk.
I looked at him.
He's a mention. So
he just didn't have any course history that I could find.
Aha. So this is where I'm going to spook you. So I didn't see this either until literally the second before you pressed record.
Oh.
I saw it. But course comparison with Chris Kirk, Shoney Open, he finished 2nd this year.
Yeah, that's when he got his tour card for the year.
So Chris Kirk's playing great golf.
He missed the cut, though, last week.
Yes. But the thing is, though, I couldn't find course comparison on Chris Kirk either, but I'm looking at it now. In 2013, Chris Kirk was runner-up.
Here.
So there's your course history, which could be...
How long was he out for injury?
He was for a little bit. He was out for a hot minute. I mean, it was... I don't fully know the details of the injury, but he was out for a while.
I mean, yeah, because like I said, I try to find at least, you know, I try to go back at least two, maybe 3 years.
Yeah, I usually go back. I just never saw him. I couldn't find him until I saw this. But he's a mention this week for me, and since I saw the runner up 2013, I think he's going to be at least one of my lineups this week. I like him. But I got two more guys here. One's a mention. My mention, who I'm not going to play because I got beef with him now. We are not friends right now. Is Russell Knox. Everybody who continues listening to the show knows that Russell Knox and I, sometimes we get along really great, and other times we don't get along at all. He's $9,200 this week. He's just a mention. He missed a cut here last year. A year before that, he was 14th, and the year before that, he was 15th. He has some decent course history at the Sony Open. He's playing okay golf. He was playing fantastic in the Phoenix Open the first 2 days, and then the second 2 days just did not play well at all. I think Russell Knox, I felt like I needed to mention him. He'll get you a top 25, I think. He's going to be $9,200, probably below 5% ownership. Gets you a top 20, top 25. Not a bad pick. Really not. Just kind of depends like what kind of gap you're trying to fill in the team.
Yeah.
But another guy that I'm playing this week, and not many people know this because it's in our practice episodes, is this is one of my guys here. He's not my boy, but he's $9,300, and it's Nick Taylor, the past champion.
Mm.
I really like Nick Taylor this year. I've been talking about him a lot. I felt like he's playing decent golf. He's had a miscut. He's not playing to the best of his ability, but I feel like he's playing decent golf. And he's the past champion. He won here last year. And this year, again, Sony Open course comparison, he finished 11th this year. I feel like Nick Taylor is a very solid pick, especially since he's past champion and 11th in my course comparison. I don't see him winning. I don't see him going back-to-back. I don't see him getting in the top five. But I think Nick Taylor will probably have below, maybe even 3 to 4% ownership below. And I could definitely see him sneaking you in a top 15.
Wow.
So I think he's in three of my lineups this week. I'm pretty confident in him. I think he does well. I think he's had a little time off as well to get back to a place that he's won at. So he's coming in with fresh mind, everything. I think he's going to be great. That's all I got for Tier B.
All right. So starting off with Tier C then.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my guy's Brendan Grace. We were kind of wanting to – yeah.
Whoa.
He's 8,700.
Whoa. Brendan Grace? Where has that guy been?
Well, I found out. This is his first start since he lost his father. So I know he's probably not going to hear this, but condolences.
I did not know that.
Yeah. He was supposed to play, I think, at the American Express.
Okay.
So, yeah. So he's been out with some personal stuff going on.
That's sad to hear.
He finished tied 28 in 2019 and tied 20th in 2018.
I saw he has good course history here.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's going to be risky. You know, because nobody really knows where his mental head's at. But
yeah, who knows? Maybe it's one of those things where he's going to come out and do it for his dad. You know,
right?
I never know. He could win this tournament just solely because of that.
Yeah,
never know. That could be a sneaky little pick. Not sure. Yeah, you want me to take over one of the guys?
Yeah, mention one.
How many guys you got left in Tier C?
Uno.
Uno. Well, I got Trace.
Okay.
So, I'll start off with Michael Thompson, 8,700 this week. He, in 2019, he finished 10th here. And the Sony Open this year, he finished 25th. I feel like Michael Thompson's wedge game is fantastic. His iron game is also fantastic. And I think this course can line up to him. And I feel like he's playing pretty well this year. And I feel like he could get it done here. I could see another top 10 finish from Michael Thompson. I think that's the absolute best you'll see out of him is a top 10 finish. I say the absolute worst is a top 20 finish. But he's coming in at 8,700. He's easily going to be below 3% ownership.
Yeah. I mean, so, most of the guys in Tier C indeed don't usually get a whole lot of love.
Yeah. I think the maximum you'll probably see out of a Tier C guy is like 7%, the maximum. But another guy this week, and I'm going to hold on my number one guy for Tier C this week, I'm going to go with my number two guy, is I'm going to go right back to him. I talked about him last week. I'm going to him again. It's Andrew Putnam. I'm pretty confident in him this week. He's 8,700. Like I said, he was 0.3% ownership last week. and he finished 7th.
I mean, even if that goes up a little bit, you're still only talking, you know, 2.
Yeah, 2% maybe. And I think Andrew Putnam, he has some course history here. In 2019, he finished 38th. But if you look at my course comparison, Andrew Putnam does pretty well with some of these courses. So I had to really dive into him for me to be confident in this pick. And so in 2018, at the Sony Open, he finished tied 2nd. So obviously that's my course comparison. That's great. But I had to kind of dive into how he was playing around that time. And it's similar to what he's doing now. He's kind of picked it up. He's playing a little good stretch of golf. He did this in 2018, and that's when he finished 2nd in the Sony Open. He just finished 7th this past week. I think you see another top 10 finish out of Andrew Putnam this week. And I think he's going to be below 2% ownership again.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, you might be able to see Andrew Putnam lift the trophy at the end of the day.
I mean, if you look at the past winners here, it's kind of all over the map.
I'm saying it's not.
You got Phil Mickelson and Brandt. When he won here, he was probably top 20 in the world or so. But then you got like Jimmy Walker, D.A. Points.
Yeah, and Steve Lowry.
Yeah, whoever that is.
And then
Aaron Oberholzer.
You know who Steve Lowry is?
Mm-mm.
Oh, I know who that is. I don't know who the last guy you said. Aaron whatever his
Oberholzer?
Name. Yeah, I don't know who that is. But I say Andrew Putnam. I 100% believe Andrew Putnam can win this tournament. I really do think he could win. I don't think he will win, but I definitely think he could. I think at best he gets you I don't know about out best, but I think Andrew Putnam gets you a top 10 finish. I think so. And below 2% ownership, that's huge.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Massive.
Any par, any birdie, you're skyrocketing.
You're going way to the top. All right, give me your last tier C guy.
It's Bo Hogue.
Bo Hogue.
I can't remember
talked about him last week.
Yeah, I did. He was a brief mention. He's only got one start here that I could find, and it is a miscut. But he's playing pretty good right now. He's 37th in strokes gained around the green, 21st in scrambling, 36th in greens and regulation. He's got 2 top 20s in his last 3 starts.
Wow.
So, I mean, he's pretty fresh face on tour, so he's kind of like Zalatoris and Cameron Davis is, you know, he's not really going to have a whole lot of course history anywhere.
Yeah.
But I definitely think that he's playing good enough to you know, get you a solid finish here.
Okay. Yeah. They're not a bad pick at all. All right. I'm going to say this. Tier C guy. $8,800. He's in every single lineup I have this week. I'm putting
the other Knoxville boy.
The other Knoxville boy. I'm putting a single bet on him. I'm going to put, if you just put $10 down on this guy to win, you win $1,300 on FanDuel Sportsbook. $10 down, you win $1,300.
Wow.
So I'm going to put $10 down. But it's Scott Stallings, the other Knoxville boy.
He played pretty good last week. He didn't have a very good weekend.
That's the thing. I talked about him last week, and I was a little shaky on him because I said he's missed a cut twice before that, but he missed it by one shot. And then last week, you know, he just had one bad round. That's really what it was. He was doing great. He's playing well. I said it's funny. I got both Knoxville boys in this week. So,
kind of like that, though. I mean,
usually I would say that's biased because they're Knoxville boys, but
they're both playing okay. We were kind of waiting on Stallings to heat up,
because
we hadn't played him the first couple events he played in.
Right. That's the thing. Like, I feel like some people might think it's biased, but I can easily justify both of these guys.
Yeah,
I think Scott Stallings is going to do great. He's playing well. In 2019, he finished 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
In 2018, he finished 7th. He loves this golf course. And like Todd was saying earlier, he loves Poan. I don't know why, but he does.
Yep. His one, not one win, but his probably biggest win was at Torrey Pines.
Yep, he did win there.
Poana Greens there.
Yep. I think, I honestly, like I said earlier, $10 for $1,300 to win. I could actually see Scott Stallings winning this week.
That would be so cool.
I think he's due. I honestly think Scott Stallings is due for a win. And it could be here. I think this would be the most likely place we would see him win.
Either guy.
Yeah.
Him or Malnati.
Yeah, I'd love to see Peter win too.
Yeah, that would be
awesome.
Huge.
But that's all I got for tier C. Again, Scott Stallings is in all of my lineups this week, so fingers crossed. But there's one more thing to throw in there. I also 100% believe Scott Stallings would be under 3.5% ownership, I think.
I didn't even see what he was last week.
Oh, he was – I think it was below 2%, I think. But he's had a decent finish. That's why I say below 3.5%. But
yeah,
anyway.
I could definitely see people kind of latching on to him just for the
– Yeah, just for this week because of the course history and everything. I could see it. But that's all I got for Tier C.
Yeah, I'm out too.
All right. Tier D, the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, and it's
bottom.
It is chalky.
You are scraping. like I said, when you listen to these podcasts, it's Tier C guys are usually you can usually be thrown into the mix with a couple of Tier A guys and some Tier B guys. But Tier D guy, if you're playing a Tier D guy, then you are going heavy on the Tier A guys.
Yeah.
For sure. It's and Tier D this week. I mean, it's Tier D.
It's buns.
Yeah, I mean, it's buns. Yeah, it's not good. It's I'll start us off.
Okay.
It's I got three guys this week. One of them's just to say it because it's funny. So,
oh, geez.
but one of my – actually, all three of them are 7,900. One of them is probably Keith Mitchell.
Probably going to mention who I've got then.
Oh, maybe. I'll let you take over after this one. It's but I got Keith Mitchell, 7,900. And the Sony Open this year, he finished 14th. So if you use my course comparison, that's my only really justification in playing him this week. He does have course history. He's played here a couple times. He finished 32nd last year.
And his only win, the Honda Classic.
Also true. I forgot to put that in there. It's yeah. Keith Mitchell could be a very little sneaky peek this week.
Sneaky peek.
Let's say pick.
We were really struggling on some of these pronunciations. Yeah, well. it's bad.
Yeah. I think Keith Mitchell could definitely do well this week. I could see him getting a top 20, I think.
That'd be a solid Tier D.
Oh, gosh, yeah. He's worse than Andrew Putnam's ownership.
I'm just crossing my fingers if I'm picking a Tier D guy, they make the cut.
Oh, yeah, really. All right, go ahead and take a Tier D guy.
He is also $7,900. It's Sam Ryder.
I didn't pick him.
Really?
Nope.
There must have been a lot of guys at 7,900 then.
There was.
He's only got one start here as a T68, but he's 37th in greens regulation and 24th in hole proximity.
Wow, okay.
So, I mean, you know, he's hitting it close. You know, I think Poana greens benefit bad putters.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying, like, all the winners here are bad putters, but just because, like, late in the day – the buds on Poana start growing and it gets really bouncy and whatnot.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I if there was anybody in Tier D that I was going to choose, it'd be Sam Ryder.
Okay. Not a bad pick at all. I have two more Tier D guys, and one of them – do you have any more Tier D guys?
I don't have any written down. The other guy, I'm waiting on you to mention him. Mention him if you don't.
Mine's Ted Potter.
That's who I was going to mention.
Yeah. It's you can't – not mention him in a Tier D for a couple of reasons. One, with my Sony Open comparison, he's finished 20th. He's also finished 20th and 7th at this course. So he likes these kind of golf courses like the Poan.
He's got decent course history here too, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's won the freaking thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he won in 2018. 18. So that's what I was getting to. It's a Tier D guy that's a past champion that likes these kind of golf courses. Ted Potter makes the cut.
And he's not playing awful.
No. I think that's what I'm saying. Keith Mitchell and Ted Potter both make the cut, both top 20 finishes possibly, which that would just be huge for those guys.
Yeah.
That would be massive. And I'll let you – Ted Potter was your
guy?
Yeah,
he was the only other guy that I was maybe going to mention.
Okay. So I'll say my very last guy, which I just threw it in there, just why not. It's 7,900, and it's Padraic Harrington.
Really?
Yes. One reason and one reason only. I think because Steve Stricker finished well last week, Padraic Harrington wants to fire him up. Well, watch this. I think that's the only reason he might play well.
We can't let the Europeans be shown up like that.
That's what I'm saying. I literally think the only reason Padraic Harrington might play well this week is because he saw Steve Stricker play so well, and he just wants to be like, well, I can do that too.
And, I mean, it's a shorter golf course. There was going to be courses that an older guy was going to contend, it's probably last week and this week.
Phil has won this thing five times, been top five every other time.
Yeah, but Phil hits bombs.
Yeah, bombs.
300-yard bombs.
I don't even think he's in the top 30 in driving distance.
No. You got to get those calves bigger.
Yeah. That's all I got for Tier D.
Yeah, I'm out.
we kind of dialed it down a little bit more into it. Well, Todd definitely did. I picked a lot of guys this week, but I'm playing almost every single guy I talked about. So, I mean, justified.
We want to go over any lineups we've made?
Right. That's the big one. See, I tried to go ahead and wrap this up. Go ahead. Actually, I'll start us off right here.
Okay.
I got four lineups this week. I think I'm going to kind of dive back in to at least one of them. But one of my lineups this week is Nick Taylor, Peter Malnati, Scott Stallings, Jordan Spieth, Cam Davis, and Sam Burns.
How much money you got left in that?
None.
Really?
None.
I figured you'd have a lot of salary remaining.
Heck no. There's a zero. $0. But then my other team that I like, and I'll switch it over to you, and I'll say my last one. I have Patrick Cantlay. Well, my phone just went crazy on me. I got Patrick Cantlay, Jordan Spieth, Scott Stallings, Peter Malnati, Michael Thompson, and Max Homa. I think it's not bad.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary. But go ahead and take us.
So my one lineup I've made so far, I've got Patrick Cantlay starting off. Followed by Jordan Spieth, Francesco Molinari, Matthew Naismith, Bo Hoag, and Sam Ryder.
Wow.
I got zero salary remaining. It doesn't really scare me a whole lot except for maybe Sam Ryder, just because he's a tier guy and he's a tier D guy and he's only got four made cuts this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely think the other five guys, they got a good possibility of finishing all inside the top 25, I would think.
Yeah, I 100% think so. Listen, I think this week's gonna. It's like I said, it's not the most exciting event, but it's gonna be real interesting. I think somebody might come out of nowhere.
I'm kind of enjoying it. It seems like all the events so far this year are super bunch leaderboards. Nobody's really jumped out to a huge lead.
Yeah, that's true. It's all been pretty exciting. I don't think anybody's gonna run away with it this year.
No, Taylor kind of did last year.
Let's see, but if you look in the last 4 years, actually, the last 4 years, the winner has won by at least three strokes.
Hmm.
So, I wouldn't say that's running away with it, but that's a clear win.
Yeah, you're definitely not sweating as much coming down 18.
Now, my last team that I'll say for the week is Patrick Cantlay, Max Homa, Sam Burns, Scott Stallings, Nick Taylor, and Peter Malnati. I'm really confident in the Scott Stallings and Peter Malnati whole Knoxville duo this week. I think it's going to be great. I think they're due.
How interesting would that be to have them two?
Look at that, Scott Stallings and Peter Malnati playoff.
What if we got all three Tennessee boys? We had Brent Snedeker, Scott Stallings, Peter Malnati in the top three. That'd be.
Well, you're missing the fourth Tennessee boy.
Oh, Wes Roach.
Wes Roach is playing this week too.
Yeah. He didn't excite me at all.
Oh, no. But still. But that's all I got for the lineups.
Yeah.
So now I can attempt to wrap up the show.
We're all done.
I tried to do it a little too quickly earlier. But thank you guys all for listening this week. I know it was kind of – I couldn't pronounce everything correctly.
Oh, same here. Same here.
A little different circumstances and everything today. But thank you all for listening. Make sure to follow us on our social medias. It's Morning Mully, Mulli for the Mully part. It's the Morning Mully for Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And go to our website, www.themorningmulligans.com. We're really trying to do everything that's best for you guys. We love doing this. We hope you all enjoy this episode. And hopefully we'll all make some money this week. And make sure to tune in tomorrow at Wednesday at 6 a.m. or any time of the day, whichever part you're listening to, for our matchups episode. We go through added players, the drawn players, the weather, and then the FanDuel matchups. And keep in mind, Todd and I are going to be competing with each other every week, so matchup episode is a lot more interesting, especially if you don't like making all these teams that we do here and you just want to dive into the single bets of the whole deal. But, Todd, you got anything else for us?
Nope, I'm out.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening, and we will see you all tomorrow.